Hey, welcome back to another episode of a Fit Family Podcast. I really, really appreciate you guys tuning in. I've got another good episode for you featuring a guest, Silas Johnson from Beyond the Table Health, also known as the Healthy Tradesman. He has a lot of good information here, coming at it from a different angle from my previous conversation with Adri, yet he's still getting people to the same point and still has the same values of trying to get people to eat less of the processed food, more of the single ingredient stuff. You can find Silas Johnson on Instagram. You can find out more about his business. I'll put that information in the show details. And if you guys like this show, if you like this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you share it with a friend, or you, even better yet, if you could take a screenshot of whatever platform you listen to this on and put that in your Facebook or your Instagram stories, tag me in it. I'd appreciate that so much. Without further ado, guys, enjoy this episode. I'm definitely going to have Silas on again because he just has a ton of information, and I don't even think he began to scratch the surface on all the stuff that he wants to share with people. So enjoy the show, guys.
All right, man. Well, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you jumping on here, Silas. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, that would be great.
All right. My name is Silas Johnson, and I am a health coach and CrossFit Level 1 trainer and tradesman and a bunch of other cool stuff.
Nice.
Here chatting with you guys today.
Cool, man. So, in this podcast, basically just trying to give people as much knowledge on how they can live, you know, a healthy, sustainable lifestyle, and obviously improve their fitness and all those good things that come with it, so they can live a happy life. And just trying to make it as not as super like textbooky knowledge base, but stuff that makes sense to the general population. And obviously, you know, I wanted to have you on here because the last guest I had on, Adri, you know, she comes from a background similar to mine in, you know, going with a lot of stuff from precision nutrition. But I know that you obviously, you come from the primal health coach background, which I also really like, you know, those aspects of what Mark Sisson does, and all that stuff. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't checked that out, strongly recommend you go and check out some of that stuff too from Mark's Daily Apple.
But, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you have had experience with a number of different diets and some that some would label extreme. So I'm curious to get like your, just to hear kind of about your experience with that. And then also if there are things that you apply with people that you work with, which by the way, if you want to go ahead and just plug your coaching services, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm a health coach, and I have a group program that I've been doing for a while, which is kind of less hands-on and just kind of gets people into a community where they can support each other and work through this crazy nutrition and health thing. And then I also do one-on-one coaching too. But, just a little bit about my background. Like I've been into diet and exercise and stuff since my early 20s. I moved to Hawaii, Minnesota boy, kind of got my mind blown by like all the crunchy hippies out on the islands, and just, you know, like this whole kind of different, there's a whole lifestyle change definitely that comes with moving to a place like Hawaii. And that's when I started to actually pay attention to diet. Like I didn't even, you know, I came from a pretty healthy household, like, but you know, very standard American, oven chicken wings and just, you know, the typical Minnesota kid fare. And then moved to Hawaii, and all the people around me actually cared about what they put in their bodies. And that led me down a path to kind of experiment with vegetarian diets. I did that for a while, had some vegetarian roommates, played with veganism for a couple months, like eventually went to raw veganism, just kind of experimenting, like never really going, you know, when I would experiment, I would try and stay full on, but I had no intention of, you know, necessarily doing these things forever unless they served me. So I played around with stuff like that, and I felt great, of course, going from standard American garbage to, a plant more of a plant-based diet. But, I was a hunter, a fisherman growing up. I never was against eating meat, and the ethical argument was kind of hard for me to understand if you think about, biology and the circle of life and all that very obvious stuff. So I never, bought in completely to the whole plant-based movement. But then as I got older, I, just changed some dietary habits through learning about plant-based diets, tried to cut out a lot of the processed sugar. I knew that was bad. Fried foods, those processed seed oils, I knew those were bad. And then eventually, around 2010, I started dabbling into this whole paleo movement. It was kind of, it had been around for a while, but it started to get some real traction around that time period. And I was a member of some forums and looking at these people and going like, what are they eating? They're trying to eat like our ancestors supposedly did. And then that just blew the can wide open. And that's kind of the path that I've taken for almost a decade now. It's just trying to understand what biologically humans are meant to eat. And, are we meat eaters? Are we plant eaters? Are we a combination? But basically, what serves our bodies the best, And me and Adrian, we probably could agree on a lot of things. Like the three main tenets that I try and push on my clients are like no processed seed oils, so no fried food, no canola, soy, vegetable oil, heated garbage, and there's a whole bunch of chemistry involved in why. And then no processed sugar, that's unnecessary. These are inflammatory foods mostly that are full of processed sugar, and they cause these massive insulin spikes. And then the last one is the no legumes or grains. And this is probably the hardest one for people to swallow, especially because it's been so ingrained, no pun intended, into our life for the longest time. Like you have to have heart healthy grains. Basically 50% of your calories should be coming from seeds, nuts, and grains and beans. And like it's been a part of our food guide pyramid. And this is the one that I really question because these foods are only, they've only been present in our diet since the advent of agriculture. And that's 10,000 years. I mean, you can choose not to believe in evolution. I'm not judging anyone who doesn't, but like there's clear data that shows that these foods weren't always in our diet. And there are all kinds of, relationships between gut dysbiosis and gut microflora being affected by these heavily grain-based, nuts and seeds and legume-based foods. I mean, even if you look at our ancestors, like the Weston A. Price Foundation does a really good job of this. They never even ate them in the ways that we have been eating them, even since the advent of agriculture. They always fermented all of their grains or sprouted or seeded or soaked. Like they knew how intuitively over thousands of years of trial and error, they figured out how to get rid of a lot of those plant toxins that are affecting people when they eat those things. And then, of course, we don't do any of that now. Like food science doesn't give a shoot.
You
Can I
can,
swear?
it's a, yes, you can swear.
They don't care about, food preparation. They just want to pump those grains, those really cheap, foods out, get them to the masses as fast as they can and feed 8 billion people. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Like I've taken this ancestral path, cutting out sugar, processed seed oils, and processed grain-based foods, and never felt better. And that's kind of where I start with my clients. Of course, there's all kinds of protocols that you can play with, like autoimmune paleo, or the new one is carnivore diet, which we can talk about definitely for sure. But the main basis is just getting people to eat whole food, basically. And if you want to talk about whole foods, technically those grain-based foods are not whole foods. They break them down into their constituents in order for them to be fed to people. So yeah, that's me.
Yeah, man. So if you, so I think a lot of people, and you're using kind of like whole group or, you said that talking about the oils and you did mention canola oil and stuff like that. And you're talking about grains. What are some of the grains that you see that people are eating on a very consistent basis that like they don't even know are unhealthy for them?
Well, specifically like wheat. Wheat is huge, and a lot of people understand that wheat is bad. There's, celiacs and people that are gluten free, and but the problem is there's other like there's ways that they can they can package that and make it sound better, like whole grain, for instance. Like you get whole grain bread, eat the whole grain bread full of all the little seeds and nuts and stuff in it. Those can actually be worse in some cases because they've done nothing to get rid of the gluten or the germ. There's like, you know, the endosperm, the oily germ, and then the actual fibrous part of it. Like they've done nothing to break that down for you. So your body looks like at that as an even more offensive toxin. Like, so it doesn't matter if it's whole grain. I mean, the processed grains are have a double whammy because they spike insulin a lot higher because they're a lot more processed. Your body doesn't have to spend more time breaking them down. They convert directly into sugar. But even the whole grains, I mean, might not be the best choice. And then another one that like really is in the zeitgeist right now that everyone just loves to tout is brown rice, right? You know, like if you, so brown rice is a weird one. Again, rice is rice. It converts to glucose. It's a carbohydrate source. That's not good or bad. It just is. But the whole brown rice, the issue with the brown rice is it still has the cast on it. It still has its skin, I guess. And that skin is loaded with something called phytate or phytic acid. And what that does is if you were to eat, you know, a high mineral based meal, like if you had, let's say, oysters, which are, you know, thousands of times over your RDA for zinc. If you were to pair those oysters with a big old bowl of brown rice, all of the zinc in those oysters would be bound up into that phytate, and probably most of it would be excreted through your stool, right? Those are the types of food combinations that, you know, food science knows about. The dietetics know, they understand the mechanism, but they don't tell you that, and they don't think that it's important enough to talk about, right? They'll find no problem with that. They'll look at each of its food individually and say, this is good, this is good, this is good. But looking at the meal itself, like how much of that zinc are you getting? You know, like, and that's the thing about a lot of these plant, I wouldn't say some of them are toxins, but some of them just like phytate's not there to necessarily kill you. It just, it is what it is. It's biochemistry. So those are a couple of grains that people think are, you know, healthy, and I just don't find any merit to them. They're not necessary. There's no, you know, biological imperative to eat those types of foods. You know, in my opinion, they're survival foods. If you're going to die and you can't find a better source of nutrition, then yeah, you should definitely eat some whole grains and some brown rice.
So this is all, I mean, I'm sure people, if they're listening to us, they're like, shit. But,
Yeah.
and I mean, and I think, again, this is why I really wanted to have you on here because I think you bring up, obviously what you're talking about is all stuff that is backed by science, right? And I think I mean, I know that if you do enough research, this is like one of the biggest debates between, you know, all the nutrition gurus out there, right?
Yeah,
And
definitely.
especially with all of the different, you know, between keto or carnivore or veganism or just eating like, you know, eating your proteins, your fats, and your carbohydrates. Like, you know, basically trying to limit it to a point where, you know, I mean, I think most people, like, that's, and I'm sure obviously there's something I'm going to get to with you, but most people have a hard time just eliminating just like the simple shit out of their diet, like
Right.
not eating. You know, I had Adri on here and she was talking, like, just telling people why a sandwich isn't healthy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you shouldn't have a sandwich, two sandwiches every day. You know what I mean? You shouldn't be
Right.
backing that up with a can of Coke, you know?
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
that kind of leads me to my next point, because obviously you have like this, you know, where your goal to get people to, right, with eliminating things from their nutrition. And you're not doing it because this is what works for you, right? You're doing this because you obviously care and you want to see people healthy, and you clearly like are passionate about kind of changing the thought process on what is like like what's been deemed as like a healthy or a normal diet by the government, you know, and what they put out
Right.
there and all that, and just what's been popularized, and now with obviously the with social with social media being so huge, there's just so much information out there. And so where Right. you're trying to get someone is to eliminate these things from their diet, and they're starting from your standard American diet. And maybe you don't see that as much out in Hawaii, because I think you had mentioned that in the beginning of the podcast, kind of the people that you were around are much more like aware, I guess, of they're more health conscious. But if you're taking someone who just comes off a standard American diet, what are some of the steps that you take in order to not like overwhelm them with these changes, but getting them to create momentum to getting them to where you would like for them to be, where they're eliminating these things out of their diet?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the challenge, right? This, the whole motivation, especially if it's been ingrained in your life, like you're, if you take someone in their, you know, mid 50s, they're starting to look pre-diabetic and they've been eating the same way forever. It's really hard to break those chains, but I try and just start with the small stuff first, you know, like food science is also kind of a really cool thing. There's all kinds of ways where you can take your favorite foods and, you know, paleoize them or ketoize them, which I really don't like, but those are, that's probably where I would start. I like, I'll use certain hacks from, you know, technology that'll allow you at least to like get the grain out of your diet. If you still need to have a sandwich, there is all kinds of, you know, almond flour bread or coconut flour bread, things that are a little bit less offensive to the gut than actual traditional wheat. You know, we would start there. We'd just convert that sandwich that you might be having into something that serves you a little bit better. Or, you know, sugar, there's stevia that you can do. Some people like the flavor, some people don't. But for the most part, research so far shows that these things aren't too upsetting to your biological systems. So it's, the transition is slow. I mean, bottom line is you have to want it. That's the first part. Like if you don't have, like try and make sure they figure out their why. If their why isn't important to them, then nothing, I mean, nothing will change. They're not just going to do it as a hobby. They have to either be scared or tired of it, or just they need something different in their life. So that's, sorry, that would be first. Like establish the why, make sure they understand their why. And then, you know, baby steps are a good way to go. Like, and then also what I've realized, and I've heard this a few times, is there's two types of people. There's abstainers, people that like completely can just switch to keto overnight, right? That's what they need to do, because if they go ahead and cheat, they're going to go off the rails and they're going to start just buying tubs of Ben and Jerry's. And then there's moderators, people that can, you know, change their diet, change their dietary habits, and then, you know, have a, cheat's a horrible word, but like have something that they know doesn't serve them on a weekend, and that won't make them snowball. So that was a really cool realization I had too, but it's all case dependent, you know, like find your why, find out what kind of behavioral patterns you have, and then we'll slowly change your idea about food and the way it works and the way it, that's the other thing too, is making sure people understand, not from a, you know, crazy scientific level, but like just understand the biology, like why doesn't this work for me? You know, explaining that in a way that they can relate to also helps the transition. Like, and it's not necessarily about creating guilt, but you know, when you know what that food is doing to you, you're going to take a pause every time you just rush into the store at the gas station and just buy an egg salad sandwich off the shelf that's been sitting there for who knows how long. You know what I mean? Like you have to just educate, make sure that they figure out what their purpose is, and then find everybody's individual triggers and work around them. And I mean, it's hard, like that's very, it sounds very vague, but that's basically all, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's what I have to do with my clients.
Yeah, for sure. And you said, and that's, and what you're saying is exactly what Adri said on here. It's exactly what I try to get my clients and the people I work with to understand is the purpose behind anything that they're doing with health and fitness related. Like, why do you want it? Like, why? Period. You know, like, right. And getting beyond those surface level things, but eating is, I mean, people are so emotionally attached to eating.
Right.
And really just kind of trying to figure out, or just trying to have them eat with purpose, you know, understanding what is the purpose? Like, why do you need to be eating, you know, half a pint of Ben and Jerry's every night? You know, what is it? Because if you don't establish that, right? If you don't understand why you're doing that, you don't actually reflect and figure out what the real problem is, then you're never going to make any progress, right?
Right, exactly. And it's twofold too. Like we are fighting a crazy battle because it's psychology, like we're talking about now, finding your why. And then it's also biology too, because those food cravings are real. They're not like in your head. They're biologically your insulin response, you know, that sugar dump. When you're not insulin sensitive anymore, you're insulin resistant, like you want sugar. I mean, and you're going to go look for it or you're not going to feel good, you know, like, so we got a double battle going on, definitely. And even just the dopamine response from grains, like they, you know, they have a morphinogenic response. Like they have the same kinds of things that morphine have in them that make you feel good when you eat gluten or grain-based foods. So like, it's not just the psychology either. And we got to also understand that, like, people, it's like getting them off of drugs, you know, and that's sad to say, but it's real, you know, like, so it's tough work, but you know, as you know, it's super rewarding, and getting people to have those aha moments is what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of going touch back on the previous podcast I did with Adri, is just kind of getting them to see some success. You know, that gets them, whether it's just how they're feeling or you know, and or I guess how they look, how they're starting to, you know, change their look. It's really just getting them to start to see some success and deal with, you know, getting them past those points where they're not, you know, where they kind of go back to their old ways, and maybe it's a meal, maybe it's a weekend, or you know, it's just getting them to understand that it's okay. Just make your next meal, you know.
Yeah, right.
Make your next meal something, you know, towards what we're working towards. You know what I mean? Like getting a better meal in, basically.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, it sounds obvious, but yeah, I mean, that's, people don't understand that. Like they beat themselves up so bad if they, you know, fall out of their diet. Like, they just need to understand it's simple. Like, just start with your next meal. Like, get the ball rolling. It's not, you know, it's nothing to be upset about. You can't emotionally tie your food decisions to your health. You just got to keep moving.
Absolutely. So you said to me in the podcast, you've had experience with veganism, right? Was it vegetarian?
Well, mostly vegetarian. I mean, I spent a few months trying to just eliminate the rest of, you know, the dairy or whatever, and just going straight for plants. And so, you know.
Okay, so I guess a better question is, of all those things you listed earlier, so we don't need to go back and list those things off, right?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, your way of eating is now? Like, would you have a label towards it? Is it paleo? Is it carnivore? And why are you eating the way you eat?
Cool. So what I'm doing now, I've slowly transitioned, right? I've been, you know, paleo, primal, like basically no grains, processed sugar, or, you know, legumes and fried food for a decade. And then recently there's been a lot of anecdote. I mean, we can't do the science yet, but a lot of anecdote with people healing themselves by eliminating some of those offensive plant foods. So basically, out of experiment since October, I've been mostly what people like to call animal based. I mean, I am not strict carnivore. Strict carnivore, people who don't know, it's basically just meat, salt, and water. Like, people are using this protocol to do all kinds of amazing things, heal autoimmunity, heal IBS, Crohn's disease, gut dysbiosis. It's seriously, like, the list becomes endless on the types of things that this elimination diet is providing for people. But so I've just been kind of experimenting more on that end. I mean, I've always been a plant eater. I like plants. I like them a lot. Like, I enjoy big salads and avocados and like, you know, anything that's, you know, grown in a garden, I really enjoy, and I always have. And it doesn't really affect my digestion too much, But my wife, on the other hand, can't eat that at the same rate that I can. There's certain trigger foods that she has. So, just being a good sport, I kind of went down this carnivore rabbit hole with her, and she's, seen all kinds of benefit as far as digestion, sticking to more of an animal-based diet. So I would call it animal-based. There's another like term that people have been throwing around, like carnivore adjacent, which is kind of a silly way to say it. But basically, I eat the bulk, maybe 80% of my calories in animal foods. And we try and eat nose to tail, we eat liver, we eat all the fat, like not just sticking to muscle meat, different cuts of meat, different types of animals. And then that last 20% are plant-based foods. I eat some sauerkraut. I've been sticking to plants that have been prepared in their correct form. Like a lot of people don't know about spinach. It's super high in oxalate, right? Oxalate can create calcium oxalate stones in your kidneys, and they actually deposit all over the place. I don't eat that. I mean, if I were to eat it, I would steam it to get rid of a lot of that oxalate content. So I've been eating mostly meat as the bulk of my diet, and then eating the plants that serve me the best based on, biology or, like even traditional food ways, like how things were prepared. So that's what we've been doing for a year. I mean, that's not necessarily what I make my clients do. I know certain clients have certain issues that they could benefit from eating like this, but again, this is kind of high level stuff. But I enjoy it, and that's basically what I've been doing. Just an animal-based diet is the best way to describe it.
Okay, so meat, some veggies.
Meat, a little bit of veggies.
What
Veggies is
veggies
like
do you, what veggies do
Vermont.
you eat then?
We'll eat mushrooms. Fungus are good. They don't contain a lot of anti-nutrients. They're, super, super high in a lot of minerals. We eat kimchi, which is cabbage, which is also high in oxalate. But studies show that when you ferment the cabbage, you get rid of like 60% of that stuff. So kimchi, some sauerkraut. I'll eat some carrots. Those are basically just sugar. Coffee's a big plant that we eat daily or drink daily, however you want to put it. But yeah, that's basically it. Fermented veggies, mushrooms, and then animal-based foods.
Right on, man. So if you, so what, when you kind of go, do you have a general direction for every one of your clients to eat a certain way, or do you kind of have it specific to sort of how they respond to the first few steps?
Yeah, definitely, definitely the latter. I would look at the client individually and try and see, just look at them as an
Hey,
individual.
Silas.
Go
Silas,
ahead.
give me 1 second, man. I'll be right back.
No problem.
All right, sorry, man. I had to plug my phone real quick before it died. So, all
All
right. So back to the question. Do you get your do you have a general direction that you want your clients, or I should say, a certain way that you want all of your clients to end up eating, or do you kind of determine that based on the individual and how they're doing with the first initial steps?
So yeah, again, everybody's different. The end point, yes, I would like them all to eat a diet free from, I keep harping on this, processed sugar, processed grains, and seed oils. If they just did those three things, that would serve them forever. I mean, they'd be healthy forever. But obviously, that can be a big ask for a lot of people, especially in the beginning. And, it's just one step at a time. If at the end of the day, I got you to stop drinking Coke and switched you to Zevia, then, that's awesome. And I'll feel great about that. And you'll feel great about that because you're no longer, pouring sugar in your face. So, like you said, I mean, like we talked about, everyone kind of has a different ways they learn, different built-in responses to ideas and food, and it's a case-by-case basis for sure. I mean, when in my group coaching, that's a little bit different. Like, I can't hold their hands necessarily, so to speak. So like, they kind of mold themselves into the direction that they feel the most comfortable with, and then they obviously have the community support and seeing other people just going whole hog, and that helps them change their minds. But yeah, it's case by case basis. Just try and get the inflammatory things out of their lives, and if it's one or two things, then we've still won. You know what I mean? But yeah, the end goal would definitely be like a ancestral diet, primal paleo diet, whatever. I hate those labels, but that style of diet for sure.
Right on. So you didn't, I forgot, I didn't ask. How do you feel about fruit?
Oh yeah, sorry. Duh.
Because
Fruit is one
I
of
mean, obviously, so we've got proteins, we've got fats, we got carbs. Those are your macronutrients. Where are people getting their carbs from then? I should ask that.
People getting their carbs on just a paleo diet or primal diet from fruit, for sure. Like, definitely getting carbs from fruit, carbs from sweet potato, carbs from, some carbs from other starchy vegetables. They're not getting them from grains, which is fine. You can get them from other sources. My source of carbohydrate, though very minimal, does come from fruit. Like, we grow papayas up here, so we'll have some papayas if they're ripe on the tree. Mango season here in Hawaii is right now. We'll have mangoes occasionally, but it's more of a dessert, and it's not a all the time thing. And then things that we do have more often are berries. We try and have berries at least a few days a week for sure, just because they taste amazing. They're very low sugar, and we don't know enough about polyphenols and plant antioxidants, so we hedge our bets and have some berries for sure, definitely. But so yeah, I get carbs from fruit.
Cool. All right, so this is a question that I intend to ask just about every single person who comes on here that is in that health and fitness field. If you're working with, or like if you're just giving advice to someone who may be listening who is looking to make that change in their life to start living a healthier lifestyle, what are two to three tips that you would give them? And this doesn't just need to be nutrition wise. It could be anything that would that you would give for advice to anyone out there to start making that change.
Okay, two to three tips. First thing I would do is say, depending on move more, like move more at a slow pace. That right there can do a lot. You can have a poor diet and not be sedentary, and your health markers will start to change already. So that would be my first tip. If you're at an office, get a standing desk. Take movement breaks, do air squats. Don't come home and sit down, go for a walk. I don't mean like join a CrossFit gym, which you should if you want to, but that doesn't mean you have to like go nuts, because those types of exercises won't burn fat or serve you in the same way that just general steady movement throughout the day would. So that's a huge one. Definitely move more. And then the second thing would be, I guess the second tip would be just try and get rid of that sugar ball and chain, right? However you can, start to translate, the biggest offenders in your life. Just take a look at what you eat, write it down for a week, see what things contain the most processed sugar, and see if you can find an alternative. If you could do those two things, I guess those would be some of the most important ones for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the move thing is it just or that's something that I think people get so wrapped up in. How should I move? What's the best type of movement? Like, just move. Go for a walk after you eat. You know, stand up. Don't sit all day. Stretch. Do something. Just start somewhere. You don't need to buy it. You don't even need to buy a gym membership. If you're starting from square one where you're completely sedentary in your life, you just got to move, right? Like, just
Absolutely.
start with moving. Go for a walk. And if you've got like if you have kids, just start getting, taking them for a walk or something. Don't get them in the habit of just sitting on their ass all day. So
Right. Yeah. Those habits start when you're young, for sure.
for sure. Hey man, you mentioned one thing, right? You mentioned CrossFit, and if it you said that people should try CrossFit. You're a CrossFit coach. What and you started CrossFit at the gym that I was working at. Like, I remember when you started, and this is not a blowhard CrossFit podcast. In fact, I don't even work in a CrossFit gym anymore. I still enjoy high intensity interval training type workouts, but what if you wouldn't mind, like, just kind of like talking about your experience with CrossFit? And I feel like that, from when I met you and Zelia, like, that kind of, like, I would say really jump started your curiosity and your path towards coaching. Because I remember
Absolutely.
you talking to me about, like, you considering to get your level one, and then all of a sudden, like, you got your level one, or you got your health coach cert, and then you got your level one, and now you were coaching a bunch.
Yeah, I was working full time for sure in the CrossFit gym, and I owe a lot to CrossFit for sure. And it gets a bad rap, and it's mostly by people who don't understand it, right? Like, the reason that I think CrossFit is so beneficial for just the general population is if you find the gym that is doing CrossFit correctly, you're going to go in there and you're going to learn how to move better. And then the adjacent benefits to just doing that are like tenfold. You start to join into a community of people that also want to improve themselves. You have like this little bit of friendly competition that all humans react to. And, whether you want to or not, this becomes part of the reason why you go, because you want to see yourself improving and you want to see how you compare to other people in a good way. But then also, all of us coaches are, we have to take a course on nutrition. Like, everything about that place is trying to make you a better person. And it's a group community thing too. So you can ask questions of other members. You can ask questions of coaches. It's not just a gym with, full, an empty gym full of equipment. You walk in there and you're walking into a community of support. We all know how to eat well. We all know how to move well. And we all want to help you do that. And you can't find that at other places. You just can't. Like, there are certain places, maybe F45. I don't know if you guys have that in Minnesota, but there's a lot of copycat stuff, and they use different. High intensity training is one, but like, our methodology is solid. It's general physical preparedness, and CrossFit HQ doesn't want it to be just about Ollie lifts and gymnastics. The health and nutrition part of it is the base of our pyramid. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much going on there, and people don't go to CrossFit because they see videos of it, or they see CrossFit fails, and they just don't understand it. My stepdad and mother joined a CrossFit gym in Florida like 3 months ago, and she's 62
Nice.
and he's 66, and they're crushing it. They love it. They go there constantly. They enjoy and cherish their time there. And the community's awesome, and the coaches are great, and they have good support structure and all that stuff. I mean, there's really just nothing like it. But it doesn't mean they're all the same either. Like, that's my one warning. Like, go check them out. Make sure you feel comfortable. Make sure they have good reviews. Make sure that they're there to serve you and you're not just a number at the gym. And if you are and you feel like that's happening, go find another one. There's 5,000 of them in America.
Yeah, for sure. And there's one thing that I used to always mention to people that were considering starting CrossFit or had just kind of started CrossFit, is like, that to me, being, like, because there are so many different locations out there, and there are different gyms that have chains all over the world, right? But there's very few gyms like a CrossFit gym where you are a part of a community. And if you move across the country, or like you move from Minnesota to Hawaii, like, you're gonna find another community that's a CrossFit gym that have very similar interests, right? And they all kind of like the just the and you said friendly, like, kind of like competition. I would almost label it as just more of as mutual respect. When you have someone who is working hard, as hard as you, kind of right next to you, like, yeah, you kind of get in a competition, but at the end, what makes it a friendly competition is the mutual respect that you guys both pretty much. And yeah, I know if you're listening to this and you're thinking, geez, you're talking about exercise and whatever, but like, it's a place for camaraderie, and it's a place for mutual respect, and just kind of all doing the same thing and working hard doing it. You know what I mean? That is different than just going to a local gym and just kind of going through the motions. Not to say that you can't find friends at any other gym, you know, F45 or whatever. Yeah, we do actually have a 3 F45s that just opened up in Minnesota. I've been really curious. This is completely off topic. Yeah. But it's been very interesting because I don't know if I'm assuming you know who Mark Wahlberg is, who doesn't. But he just bought like a minority stake in that company, and he's just been just plugging it on his Instagram account a ton. And I really think now that CrossFit HQ has eliminated their social media accounts on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm seeing a lot more F45 stuff. In about 5 to 10 years, I'll be very interested to see where F45 is, because when they first kind of came out, they sort of aimed their sights right at CrossFit, and now they've sort of changed. And I don't know how to really describe their program. It's high intensity interval training, but it's just a ton of volume. Like, you're never going to do Olympic weightlifting movements, you know. And to be honest with you, for people who are just coming in off the street, like, it's much easier to step into. Like, if you're going to join a CrossFit gym, there are a lot of movements that you are going to be on the menu, let's say. And the thing is with that is, if you join a good gym, and this is one of the ways you're going to find a good gym, or you can tell if you're in a good gym or if you're in a bad gym, a CrossFit gym, that is if you come in off the street and you have no exercise experience, like, as in, like, you don't know how to do anything but maybe curls and you know, that's about it, right? Or bench press. If the workout on the board says, like, you're going to do these, it has a super, let's say, high level gymnastics movement, like bar, like muscle ups, right, paired with clean and jerks, and something else that just jacks your heart rate up, like, just say a run, right? Like, if you coming off the street and that coach who's coaching a class has no idea how to give you a workout where you're going to get the same stimulus and you're going to work the same muscle groups, but you're going to do different movements than what's on the whiteboard, that's not a gym you want to be a part of.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. That's just, what's that?
And it can happen for sure, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where CrossFit just gets a bad rap, because just like anything, man, like, there's a lot of quote unquote health coaches and what would you call them? There's just a lot of people who are labeling themselves as health coaches on Instagram that really are just, you know, putting their special angles of their butt on the floor as they're doing air squats, and, you know, and they're in great shape, but they have probably absolutely zero knowledge as to how to help people. And same goes with CrossFit. Like, there's going to be gyms that are going to have the name CrossFit, blah, 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 blah on their door, and they have no idea how to help people, but they know how to move really well and they look jacked. You know, that doesn't mean that you're joining a good gym. So
find the one with the good community and the good coaching, and you'll know if you feel uncomfortable, get out of there.
Yeah. If you come into the gym and the community is not, you don't have someone coming up and introducing themselves to you, or the coach doesn't introduce you to the class, like, you know, that's when you know. But if you go to a gym where the coach introduces you to the class, like, first thing before they break down a workout, you've got people in the community that are genuinely interested in getting to know you.
Yeah.
That's a place that you're going to want to stick with. And you know, that's awesome. When it's special. Yeah. It's hard to leave that. But anyways, man, I want to be respectful of your time. It's Sunday, and I know you probably want to spend some time with the family. Enjoy your day off. I really, really appreciate you doing this, Silas, and I would love to do it again sometime. I think you bring on some very different topics that not a lot of people are talking about in terms of health and nutrition. And this is not a show where I'm going to debate anyone. This is all for anyone who wants to listen. And I don't think personally, like, I think everyone should try like what works best for them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whether it's keto or it's vegetarian or it's, you know, meat based, or it's just your whatever, you know, what it's you're eating. Not to say that you should be eating certain things, because obviously I would never say you should be eating pizza. Hey, if you look shredded, it must be working, you know. But whatever feels good with your body, like, and then you should have, like, you, that's what I'm all for. If you're feeling good, your health markers are good, you're looking good, that's what works. Stick with it.
Absolutely. Amen.
All right, brother. Well, it was good talking with you. Tell Zelia I said hi.
I will.
We'll connect soon. All right, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.